Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. But let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of my MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and, you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP. That's A, M as in Mother's Day, P, at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today.
You are now listening to the hottest true crime podcast in the streets.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Affirmative Murder. I'm Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans.
Oh, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, man, I'm the mailman. Can't you tell, man? Gonna post to it.
What up? What's going on, friend? We are coming to you live on an Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Give it up for the Lord one time if that's something you believe in. If not, that's cool, too. I don't judge. You know, sometimes I speculate what I truly believe in as well. But it is a good day to eat chocolate and watch kids frolic around. And if you are an adult with whimsy in your heart, you too can participate in an egg hunt, which I did and came in second place.
Second place.
I did beat my fiance, though. She came in dead last. So,
oh, wow.
You know, you got to take the wins where you can. Get up the last
place.
She came in last. Yeah, dead last. Yeah. Loser. Yeah. But yeah, man. How you doing, man? How'd the kids enjoy Easter? Fun hanging around. Is Max a hunter at this point? Can he hunt?
No. Yeah. He doesn't really know what's going on.
The concept of just hunting for the egg.
Yeah, it's just, hey, you gotta pick this up. And he go pick it up and just throw it. They had an egg. He found an egg that was a soccer ball.
It was an egg, but also a soccer ball?
It was an egg, but it had the colors of a soccer ball.
Oh, okay. So he puts it
on the ground. He kicks it.
Oh. He's not collecting anything.
No.
Yeah, okay.
This is like soccer ball, so I'm going to kick it.
Yeah. But the skills, the mind, you can see the mind operating.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's interesting
to see. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Some other news, as we've now approached the month of April, stuff starting to get warm, people are starting to go out and hang out again. And sadly, I feel like it's time once again for us to reiterate and go over the birthday dinner rules. One, if you are the person whose birthday it is and you organize the birthday, you do hold some responsibility to put some money in. If your friends are nice enough to throw you a birthday dinner, you shouldn't be expected to put any money in. But also, here's the most important thing. Any attendee at a birthday dinner, no matter how many the number, if it's large or small, you should all be comfortable with the idea that somebody's going to pay for this whole thing and we'll get you back after. We'll figure this out later on.
Yeah.
That's birthday dinner. That's large gathering dinner etiquette 101. I bring this up because the story recently just pissed me off, because this is why I don't go out to eat with people.
Yeah.
I saw this story about, it looked like a Waffle House, but I'm assuming it was somewhere nicer. It was like 25 people came to a birthday dinner.
and they asked the server to split the check 25 ways.
Yeah.
Now, to anybody who's worked in the service industry, you know. So here's a couple of things I want to know before I slander these people. I'm going to slander these people regardless because it's just trashy. But one, I need to know if they reserved the dinner. Mm-hmm. Because if you didn't have a reservation, you already fucked that person over because you just show up with 25 people to a section and that person now has to be responsible for a 25. That's a whole thing. That should be done in advance so they know to prepare the staff properly and all those things. Two, and also the restaurant can know to put gratuity on the check. Mm-hmm. But that also fucks up the gratuity because if you split it 25 ways, who know everybody's going to give a $3 tip. The person might not get a tip properly for their services of pouring 25 drinks, bringing out 25 plates. It's a whole thing. But the most important thing is, also the police got called, because I'm sure what happened was they were like, oh, what you, because I know it was like, what, you can't split the check 25? Now they're causing a scene because this person's like, we can't split the check 25. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, one person got fries and was like,
all this shit. $8. No, I didn't drink a root beer. I had one soda. But the idea that, like, you treat going out to a birthday dinner like you all are just happen to be going out to a restaurant and all of you order the one thing and you want 25. So it just was something so classless about it. I didn't appreciate it. So if you can't afford to go out on a birthday dinner and you don't hang out in a circle of people who can just pick up the tab and y'all figure that shit out later, don't do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't reserve in advance, don't go to a fucking restaurant with 25, 30 people and just be like, it's her birthday. Can we get a whole section randomly on this Tuesday night? Like, that's to put a person in a predicament like that is so fucked up.
But I want to know where it was at because they're not even doing that right. I want to know because you can't have a party more than six, I don't think, right now.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Or it must have been like in Texas or Georgia somewhere. Or something like that. Somewhere also, that's open.
Did you read any comments?
No.
Like people were saying, was like, why would the waitress think that everybody was going to be on one check? Some people was backing up the party. And was
why
like,
would they think that?
Yeah, like why wouldn't you think? Because
it's a fucking birthday party.
Some people saying, I've been in the.
Anybody who thinks like that is trash. I would never go to dinner with a person like that.
Yeah.
What do you? I don't even understand how that's a question. It's a birthday party. It's a massive party. Y'all are all sitting together.
Yeah.
And you but that's somebody who also not only has never worked in the service industry, doesn't know anybody that works in the service industry. If you can't understand how complex it is to serve a table of 25 people and then everybody breaks the check up 25 ways, which is already a hassle. You got to try to figure out whose card went on to whose thing.
Yeah,
everybody got different food. It's not going to be priced evenly.
It takes too much time.
Because then, like you said, it's not going to all break down evenly. I think they're saying like split it, divide the check by 25. But it's like, that's not how it works. I need to put the food on different receipts.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, okay, here's, the check was, let's say it was $700. Here's 25.
I think that's what they meant,
though.
I think that's what they meant.
But you can't do that.
No, I'm talking about different checks. You know, if you go with four people, they go, y'all want split checks? Y'all want to, no, like,
oh, like individual.
Individual checks.
But it's four people and 25 people is a very.
That's crazy. I'm saying that's what they meant, though.
Yeah, but like, my whole thing is like, if you don't establish that up front, who thinks that 25 way? I mean,
that's crazy.
Can we, me and you go on a double date? And we go, can we get two checks and just do it like this side of the table, that side of the table?
Yeah.
That's perfectly reasonable. But at the end of an hours-long dinner, y'all are drinking sodas, eating food, and she's now put everything on one check, and now you're telling her split this 25 different ways.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, you got steak and you got salmon, and it's crazy. It was just so trashy. And if you can't afford to just take the hit on your, because it's your birthday dinner. Like, you wanted to have this whole event. You can't just be like, oh, well, we all just happen to come. You can't treat it like that. You
25
can't like,
people, though.
25 people, man.
Ain't no way you that close to that many people.
It's not. And it's but that's my whole thing is if you want to, here's the thing. And this is not racial or anything like that. They did that to stunt.
Oh, for sure.
We're going to go out. It's going to be a party. Right. We're going to turn up. Because you're not going to talk to the 25th person.
Ain't no
whoever's birthday it is, you're not talking to everybody. So y'all just wanted to come as the mob and be all, you know, and dressed in, we all got white on or whatever. Y'all just wanted to come and like shut the TGI Fridays and wherever they were. They wanted to shut the spot down, have a good time, take pictures and all that
can
kind of stuff.
Can you do that though?
What?
20? Can you go in with a party of 20?
That's
without
my whole thing,
without reservations?
That's why it's like, I have to assume they had to reserve it. Because if you didn't, I don't know how a place doesn't go, no, you can't.
Because David Busta's has a whole different section.
For whole parties. Like a room.
Yeah, if it's a room.
25 it's people is like, you should get your own area. So I hope they reserved it. But even if you did reserve it, come on, 25 different checks, man. I don't know. It's the whole thing was crazy. If you can't afford to just drop two or three cards down on that and then figure that shit out later,
yeah,
then you shouldn't be going out for birthday dinners. Like, you know, and 25 people birthday dinners is crazy. That's something like that's P. Diddy shit.
25
people. I promise you, P. Diddy, when he goes out with 25 people, nobody's like, hey, can you split the check 25 ways? And
if P. Diddy went out, he... I'm a reserve the whole.
No, there's no other people. Yeah, yeah. There's no. It's already been preordained.
Yes.
But that's my whole thing. Is like I would never have the audacity to be like, oh, it's 25 people. We're gonna go shut down a fucking what's the when they chop the food up in front of you like a hibachi. We're gonna go shut down a hibachi spot. We're gonna have the whole section.
Kobe's.
Yeah, you know, like it's just there's a arrogance to that I just would never have.
Also, I
don't even like 25 people. Like, I'd be hard pressed to. It'd be like old family friends. Yeah. It would get so stretched out. Like my mom would be there. Like
I would say, yo, bring some people that you know. Those would be the extra people that
I wouldn't even know them. They'd be like, y'all have eat food down there, and maybe that's why they felt like they could break it up. Because yeah. I don't even know the birthday person. Yes. I'm paying for my food. That was the event that we were in, though. We were like 16. We weren't even, we might have been 14, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was, even that was like a birthday dinner of 10 people.
Yeah.
You know? And also, it's something that makes more sense to me when you're, you know, 14 to 17 years old. Birthday dinner, man. Come on. Like, just go fucking hang out with your closest friends and go have a good time. You don't need to have some long ass table. No. The birthday person's at the head of the table all the way down there. You're not even going to talk to 25
them. 25 people.
Come on, bro. We got right up out of there. But yeah, no, that's why I just don't even go out to dinner with large groups of people. I don't even like to get mixed up in the shit like that. Before we get into the Patreon thank yous and shout outs, I wanted to send some prayers up. Well, not prayer. I want to keep them on earth. Keep these prayers on earth and keep this person in your prayers. DMX. I believe the report was false. So I hope if it was false, I hope that his family and his estate sue TMZ. They initially reported it as an overdose. I believe he had a heart attack unrelated to drugs. But given DMX's track record, I also wouldn't be surprised.
Also, the overdose wasn't as false.
Drug related. I don't know. But I believe it was initially. I've heard that it was initially reported as a drug overdose, and it wasn't. He had a heart attack.
Oh.
Which I could be wrong because DMX's track record. Is that of he's known to do a lot of drugs. Mm. But one thing I want to say about DMX is, one, first of all, I mean, a legend. There's nothing even really to be said about DMX. Like, he's one of the best ever, insane. But he's always been a special case to me. It's my always appreciated because he really is haunted by demons and has been since he took off. He has been a person who has been addicted to drugs before. Since he was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
And he had two platinum albums out in 1 year, was doing movies. He was the biggest thing on the planet and was swimming in drug addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why you hear these crazy stories like DMX pretended to be an FBI agent and stole a police car. He has been battling drug addiction for many years and he's been a tortured soul. And through all of that has been incredibly talented, you know. So it's one of these kind of things where I can't imagine but that pain might have made him who he is. And it's one of those kind of hard things where it's like, imagine if he was sober, what he could have done. But at the same time, it's like, well, if he was sober, would he be DMX?
Yeah, true.
You know, so it's kind of this hard trade-off. You know, it's this thing, you know, same thing with Amy Winehouse.
It's kind of like Mac.
Mac Miller. So many artists that, you know, there's this idea that you got to be tortured to be a good artist. You got to have demons and you got to go through stuff and everything. And it does feel true in a sense. It doesn't feel good. Like, I mean, DMX is probably in his early 50s at the latest. He's probably the same age as like my dad and my mom.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely was born in like the mid 70s. He's not an old guy by any standard, but he's lived a long life. And, you know, you don't want to lose legends so early if it can be helped, you know. So, prayers up to DMX, absolute legend.
For sure.
I'm hoping that this is a tough battle that he can win. But at the same time, it's like, it's not like he won't still have demons to fight.
Yeah.
You know, so if he does pull through this, I hope so. I hope he gets the help that he needs because he's needed it for some time.
Yeah.
But absolutely.
Praise to him. When I think of DMX, I feel like I think of him as, it's only a few of those celebrities that's like on a different tier of being like a celebrity.
For
like
sure.
And it's like him, 50.
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson and who else I can think of? Can you think of another like I mean, like beyond. Kobe or LeBron, yeah. That just like worldwide.
Oh,
famous.
Yeah, everybody, Snoop.
It's like it's that's a different tier. Yeah. Like, I mean, he didn't. I don't think his career was that long.
He had he it was such a it was the drugs though.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah. But had, it's just was it was out. It was.
But
so,
when he was at his peak, it's, nobody.
It's
could
a different
him.
Tier.
Yeah. It's 97 to like 2001. Nobody was messing with DMX. Yeah. You know,
it's crazy.
And he transitioned into doing film. He was doing movies and yeah. I mean, DMX has had a very interesting career that was sadly derailed by addiction.
Yeah.
You know. And as
but
sad,
like his
yeah.
concerts and shit.
Oh man, I mean, yeah. Oh, he's had some of the biggest.
A lot of people,
hip-hop.
You don't see a lot of people, celebrities yeah. have or artists anyway to have no. crowds like that. It's,
iconic
it's
songs,
wild.
Iconic voice.
Yes.
I remember my social studies teacher, a Lily White lady with glasses, was like infatuated, not like by particularly like she knew his lyrics offhand, mm-hmm. but she just was like when he has such a distinct voice, which
For
is
sure.
hard to
yes.
do in music when it's just Biggie Smalls,
yeah,
DMX. Jay-Z, where it's just like when they come on the album, when they come on the record, it's like, oh, that's them.
Yeah, for sure.
Period. DMX, and it was so unique. It was growling, and
yeah.
he was very into prayer, and that's why I'm just, you know, want to say to people, like, you know, if you believe in that kind of stuff, send a prayer up to DMX, man. He's a tortured guy. I don't know if DMX is a good guy or not, but he's a genuine guy.
Yeah.
That's one thing I never would question about DMX. Good, bad, ugly, he's being his authentic self. Whether his authentic self is like, yo, fuck this, I'm taking this police car. Like, is any of this antics, when he's praying, that's genuine. Everything yeah. about DMX is he's the genuine article, good, bad, or ugly. So I have to always pay respects. I never felt like it was a facade, like he was pretending to be hard, pretending he had a rough life
yeah.
for the image, for the career, none of that. Always everything about DMX, real, authentic. So that news really struck me, and seeing everybody, the outpouring of love, and he's a legend, man. So I feel like over the last year or so, DMX started getting his flowers. But you know, we have this conversation several times a year, sadly, when people pass away. You know, give people their flowers while they're still here. You know, I'll take this time to once again say Danny DeVito, absolute fucking legend, man. I hope he goes nowhere anytime soon. But you
what
know,
did he do? He did something.
Just his Danny DeVito.
Oh, yes, my guy.
You know, it's just, he's the fucking man.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, I felt this way when Jerry Stiller passed away, where it's like, damn, man. Like, it's just like a guy who, you know, you never like randomly, when Jerry Stiller was alive, I never was like, man, Jerry Stiller is one of the funniest people, yeah, you yeah. know, and shout out to Jerry. He doesn't have Twitter. I can't tweet to Jerry.
Yeah,
I couldn't tweet to Jerry Stiller, but I felt it every day.
For sure.
You know, you watching old, you know, King of Queens clips and stuff from
hilarious,
man. All kind of stuff that he's from Seinfeld. But I just want to take time to say, you know, if you have a artist, a person, a loved one, a close person to you, just let them know, like, hey, man, you inspired me, you motivated me, you gave me some good advice when I was a kid, or just I appreciate your art. They might not see it, but just put it out into the world, because they might. It might just turn their day around. Again, DMX, to my knowledge, to the point where we're recording this, is recovering. But, you know, in a time like this, you want to make sure you say everything that you want to say. And continue to keep that guy in your prayers, man, because he's a fucking legend. Anyways, let's go. Let's get to these shout outs, man, because we got a good amount this week. Also, ooh, it's April. Like I said, if you sign up for the Patreon in the month of April, you get a free sticker. We did our first an affirmative murder scavenger hunt. So what I did on the Patreon was I came up with a list of moments from the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, when did we talk about this? When did Fran say this? When was this? And put up a list, and we got our first winner within 20 minutes. Shout out to Chiquita. She won the scavenger hunt. She answered all the questions, and I'll be sending her a gift.
Okay.
And every week in the month of April, we'll be giving away prizes on Patreon. Doing the same thing.
In 20 minutes?
Big props. I gave people from Thursday to Easter.
Yeah.
I was like, you have from Thursday to Easter. 20 minutes was done. So shout out, yeah, I'm gonna do more. I'm definitely gonna make it a harder one, but look for the next one this coming Thursday. If you're listening to this Thursday on the Patreon, it'll be another scavenger hunt. Mm-hmm. This one was 4 questions. I'll probably do 8 or 10 questions, okay, just because it got done in fucking 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, if you win, you can't play again. Sorry to say. Hey, we gotta put some rules around this. You can't win. Clearly Chiquita's on a different planet.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get to play anymore.
Yeah.
You won. Easy. Yeah, come on. 20 minutes? You got the podcast on speed dial. But yeah, like I said, for the whole month of April, if you sign up for the Patreon, you get a free sticker. If you're already on the Patreon and you would like a sticker, just you message us and we'll get a sticker out in the mail to you. We appreciate everybody on the Patreon. And here's some, we got some more love to give to some other people on the Patreon as well. Up first, we have a very confident person who signed up for the Patreon. Their name simply is a PhD student.
Okay.
Get it right. Yeah. And don't mix it up. I am in school to get my PhD.
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, there you go. Up next, we got Michelle B. Michelle, shout out to you. Thank you very much. We appreciate the support, and we hope that you're enjoying things on the Patreon. Angela, Angelic. You know what? I don't have one for that either. Mm-hmm. This is a hard game to play. Shout out to Wine and Crime. Wine and Crime, they do this, they do. And they're just so quick with this whole thing, man.
I thought
it
was pretty good.
I need very particular
names. The first
week
you did. Excellent.
I felt good about the first week. It's really gone all downhill from there. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. Everybody can't be good at everything. Up next, we got Cassie or Casey. I'm going to go with Casey because it's one S. So shout out to Casey J. Shout out to you. Much love and appreciation. Up next, we got Renata T. Renata, not a bill, y'all.
Okay.
That was bad. That was terrible. Oh, God, Jesus. Up next, we got Johanna D.
Okay.
Let me give you a hand. Nah. God, that was all. Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I'm drowning out here, friend.
Butchering.
Up next, we got Shannon. Put you in a cannon, shoot you off to the moon. Shannon A. Shout out to you, Shannon A. Shannon in a cannon. Up next, we got either Kira or Kyra. Okay. I'm going to go with, not to be racist, but I think she's white.
Mm-hmm.
I never met a black Kyra. So I'm going to go with Kira.
Okay.
Yeah, with Kira. And, you know, I bet she likes Shakira, the singer from Colombia.
Yeah.
Waka Waka.
Yeah.
Up next, we got.
You could have been like, oh, we care about you.
You can get involved in any of these, friend. Help me. Help me. I'm drowning.
All right.
Up next. Oh, Jesus.
What's this?
Feel better about yourself. Up next, we have Trashlin. That's what she goes by. That's old. That's like 2009 Twitter. We just like shit on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I knew somebody on Twitter that was like, their ad name was like a ugly bitch. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Twitter was different a decade ago.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, really was.
Yeah, very different. Up next, we got Sarah N. And I'm going to be Kara N. You a free sticker if you would like one.
Okay.
I'm carrying you one into the mail. That was so bad. Up next, we got Kristen. Kristen. We're going to just go Kristen. Kristen. Up next, we got Coda H.
Okay.
Coda, have a soda. Boom. Yeah, all right. Yeah, we got this. We're getting on track now. Up next, we got Molly Wood. And that's her actual name. So
what?
I'm going to say the whole thing.
Okay.
Molly Wood. Molly Wood. Shout out to you, Molly Wood. Up next, we got Katie B. Katie, she's not 80.
Okay.
But she is very wise for her age.
Right.
You would think she is 80.
Okay.
You'd think that, friend. Up next, we got Marietta.
Okay.
You better keep on supporting us on this Patreon, and we appreciate that, Marietta B. Shout out to you. And lastly, we got Deborah. It's Deborah for sure, but Deborah. She definitely isn't Deboring. Us.
While listening to this podcast.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes, and Fran, thank you very much.
Gotcha.
She definitely isn't deboring while she's listening to this podcast at all. Shout out to you, Deborah L. And that's all the patrons this week. Shout out to everybody. Like I said, for the entire month of April, if you join the Patreon, you'll be getting a free sticker. Yeah. If you're currently on the Patreon and you would like a free sticker, just message us. Give us an email address. I mean, not an email address. Give us an address to send the sticker to, and we'd be happy to put one in the mail for you. We got plenty. We appreciate everybody signing up for the Patreon, and we would like to show love however we can. And in the month of April, we're going to be doing that by giving away free stickers and having some nice fun competitions for people to have some chances to win some fun prizes on the Patreon. So get on over there, sign up, and join the fun. Fran, you had something you wanted to
say? Yeah, I do want to speak on something, an event that happened in our neck of the woods happened on last Sunday. Last Sunday there was a shooting in Essex.
At the Royal Farms?
At the Royal Farms.
Which is like a gas station.
It's a gas station, yeah. It was a gas station. The guy, if people haven't heard, it was a guy that went there, shot up two random people. This Royal Farms was right across the street from my route.
Oh, wow.
Sunday, I was supposed to work. I usually go there for gas.
Yeah.
I didn't go to work Sunday.
Wow.
So it was a pretty crazy day. Two people was randomly shot.
So it is possible you, on any random Sunday or whatever day,
I could have went and got gas from there. And the two people that were killed, my brother knew the guy that was killed there. Rest in peace to him. I don't know his name. The other lady that was killed that was super nice, her name is Miss Smith. She lived on my route.
Oh, wow.
That was killed.
But this is confirmed just random?
This was random. He went there, killed two people. He shot a couple people there. He killed two people, though, from there. Injured one person that worked there. Police got called to the Warrior Farms.
Yeah.
Went to his apartment, tried to set his apartment on fire.
Wow.
He ended up committing suicide. They went there to him. This was an S. They went there to him because they, you know, had to respond to that.
Yeah.
They had to go to his next of kin to see, you know, let him know that he passed away. They went there, found out his parents was there when they got to the house.
He killed the house that he burned down, or they went to their parents' house, a separate house.
He went to it. They had to go to his parents' house.
Let's say he went to his parents' house, the Royal Farms, back
probably
home.
Probably went to his parents' house first, yeah.
Burn the, in any order, though. Let's say he went to the Royal Farms, parents' house,
mm-hmm.
home, his own separate home from his parents.
Yep.
Burn that down and killed
himself. He lived in an apartment building in where he lived. He tried to burn the apartment down, killed himself. They went to go let his parents know.
Then it's an apartment building. He could have burned the whole fucking thing down.
I think that's what he was trying to do.
I mean, Jesus.
So it was a pretty, it's,
that's trippy, man.
It was wild, bro.
So you had the day off?
I had to work that day. I just didn't go to work. I called in sick.
Oh.
I just didn't go to work.
That might have been a sign. You never know.
Yeah, man. It was just, wild. It was a great, for us to hear, you hear stories and you go like, damn, that happened in California or whatever. It's like, then when it happened, and right at, like in your backyard where you, it's like, that shit is, shit can happen anywhere.
The Royal Farms that you've been to countless times.
It's crazy, man. It could happen to anybody. It's like, just be safe. Yes, know your, you know, be aware of your surroundings, man. It's just,
it's sad.
I just wanted to speak on
that. It's sad you got to even feel that way in society.
It's crazy,
you know?
Man.
I don't know. It's rough times, man. And in the times we live in, everything's so fucked up. The last thing I'm going to do, I just want to address this. I have no takes on the George Floyd trial. I cannot sit through that trauma and horribleness. You know, I for my own mental health, I have no perspective on that. I hope that Derek Chauvin and anybody involved in that whole thing gets as much time as they can give them. And that's all the takes I have on that. I don't want to watch. Don't tag me in videos of those people on the stands crying. I don't want to see it. I don't need to live it again. I don't need to ingest their pain. And I just have, I have no energy for it. It's absolutely tragic and abhorrent. And everything that happened was terrible. I can't do it. So I have no thoughts on it. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some fucked up shit. So stick around.
All right, it's my turn to go first. Throwing a bit of a different story today.
Okay.
This is one of these stories where it's like, you know, what the fuck? There's no answer to this, what I'm going to read.
Sure.
And I want you to listen.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me, what do you think is going on with this story?
I'll do my best.
All right. I got this story from Gizmodo.com. This is from an writer. Her name is Esther Inglis, who wrote this article. So, shout out to you. So, the Salish Sea has been depositing some gruesome things on the shore of Washington and British Columbia.
Mm.
Single feet and a few pairs keep washing up on these cold, rainy beaches.
Feet?
Yeah. Find out how...
Not shoes.
Yeah.
But shoes.
Feet and shoes.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Find out how many...
They're washing up on the shore like seashells.
Yep.
Oh, God.
It says, find out how many incidents there have been over the past 5 years, why it's always feet, and why they wash up on this particular coastline. So there are some things you never want to mention when you're trying to sell a beach house. Tsunamis, constant damage from salt wind, and the possibility, however remote, the sharks may develop legs, and of course, this beach is famous for disembodied feet that keep washing ashore.
Yeah, I'm out on that. So that's smart to not tell me.
Yeah. But you wouldn't know.
Yeah. If you're my real estate agent and you're like, you never know, the sharks might grow legs. Well, I love a good view, so it's worth the risk, because you know it's a joke. But if they go, yeah, there's like sometimes feet wash up on the shore, you're like, wait, what happens?
Yeah.
Take me somewhere else.
Yeah.
Now, immediately.
Let's get out of here. Since 2007, 11 feet have washed up along one particular stretch of coastline in North America. Yeah. Most of them are still in shoes. None of them have bodies attached or found anywhere nearby. The first foot showed up in Jedediah Island, a gruesome discovery made by a tourist from Washington. The woman picked up a shoe on the beach.
You gotta cut it out. Jesus Christ.
So what's these, Nikes?
Oh my God. Oh my God, a Penny Hardaway shoe. No. And there's a foot in it?
There's a foot in it.
Oh God.
So the woman picked up the shoe on the beach and saw a sock inside. She opened, which is crazy.
This is fucking
crazy.
I still wouldn't put it together.
I wouldn't pick it up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pick it. If it says shoe, somebody just left the shoe here.
Yeah.
I have no reason to pick the shoe up.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Oh, and then you pick it up, you're like, man, this is a heavy
shoe.
It's
heavy.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Just keep going.
The water is like, oh, it's maybe water or sand in it or something like that. So the woman picked up the shoe on the beach and saw a sock inside. She opened the sock, expecting to find a crab or a lump of sand instead found a man's foot.
Oh.
The foot was in a shoe that was distributed largely in India in 2003. So whatever shoe this was.
Oh, so it wasn't an American shoe.
It wasn't an American shoe. At the time, not much was made of it, except for the local press. Human remains often wash up on the seashores. When another foot, also belonging to a man, but clearly a different man, was found 6 days later on a nearby island, the wider press started taking notes. So since the discoveries have happened regularly, they cluster around the summer months. The most common month to find feet is August. Although this could be because of tidal patterns, it's also probably the fact that people tend to be on the beach most in the summer. So they're
more sightings.
So they're there to make the discoveries. So it's just like, it's just more people are here around this time.
Yeah.
So more parts
they
are being
discovered. Up, they can wash up, but then get taken back. Like when it's cold and people aren't
nobody
on the
know.
Beach.
That's
nobody knows. Jesus Christ.
So most of the feet are single, but four of the feet have been shown to belong to two people, bringing the total to 9 people's remains discovered. 3 of those people have been identified.
From feet?
From feet. I would like to know how they figured that out. So 3 of those people have been identified and their deaths attributed to natural causes. Some of the known victims were locals and thought to be suicidal during their lives.
Mm.
Yeah.
So where is this? Washington?
This is in, Washington, yeah. While this explains a few of the victims, the rest have frustrated local authorities. The major stumbling block to identification is the effect of the environment and body tissue. Many people think bodies are as rotting when what happens in the ocean, particularly in an oxygen-starved environment, is built up it's called adipocere. So adipocere is a waxy substance often found in soap. It builds up in the bodies that are exposed to bacteria, but not to air. So the anaerobic bacteria is a bacteria that grows, it mostly grows without the oxygen. It doesn't need oxygen to grow or spread.
Almost like algae or something like
that. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, jeez. And this grows on the body?
Yeah.
And it makes it harder for them to identify them?
So it says, I want to read you the definition. So anaerobic bacteria are bacteria that do not live or grow when oxygen is present.
Okay.
In humans, these bacteria are most commonly found in the gastrointestinal tract.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the adipocere is a grayish waxy substance formed by the decomposition of soft tissue and dead bodies subjected to moisture.
Oh.
So really, all this stuff usually only happens when the body is underwater and there's no oxygen. So it builds up on the bodies that are exposed to bacteria but not to air. The anaerobic bacteria process the fat tissue and create adipocere. This distorts the features of the foot. So I can't even.
Some swollen blood.
Yeah,
wet foot. You know, we have listeners that are in school to learn how to, like, they go to body farms. They have body farms where they're like, what happens if you leave this in cooking oil, a body that's left in virgin olive oil for 3 days? So you learn, that's how they learn these things.
Oh, shit.
They do isolated experiments of, like, what happens when a body burns, but not on crazy heat? It just burns at, like, 150 degrees for a couple hours.
So people have to donate their bodies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Donate your body to science, and you could end up in a pool. And they're like, we're going to leave this body in a pool for a week and see what happens. But then they can take that out into the real world and know, oh, this body's been here for 2 weeks.
But a big old foot, like, oh, imagine seeing like a big shoe.
Puffy.
Yeah. Oh, so this distorts
barnacles and shit on whatever, adipocere.
Crazy, yeah. This distorts the features of the foot. Authorities were able to identify the three known victims due to DNA, but for the rest, they can only guess at the gender and the age by looking at the size of the foot, and the type of shoe. Since both women and younger men tend to wear men's running shoes, most feet, unless they have toenail polish on them, are classified as either juvenile or female. It's also hard to be sure where and when the feet came from. Many different currents end up along the Washington and BC coastlines. Because of the cold ocean, the fact that the feet have built up different amounts of adipocere, the foot could have come from a body nearly anywhere or at any time or any depth in the Pacific, and could have been in the water for years or even decades before it turned up on the beach. Mm-hmm. So the last foot of an undetermined gender in a size 9 man's running shoe washed up in August 31st of this year. So this was in like 2007, I believe.
Okay.
Authorities again announced that they were not going to treat the discovery as a murder or any kind of unnatural death. At first glance, this would seem strange. Disembodied feet again and again washing up on one bit of coast can't be natural. Even if the coastal currents do collect a lot of debris, why now? Why feet? Just feet, though?
Why feet, indeed?
Just feet. So although the mystery centers on feet, there are plenty of body parts that wash ashore all over the world.
Could you imagine, like, you take Sophia and Max to the beach, and they're down there building sandcastles, and they go scoop up some sand and, you know, go bring it up to you. Hey, let's build sandcastles. And they dump it out, and it's a shoe in there, and you're like, oh, man, oh, a shoe. And then you pick it up, there's a fucking foot in there. Well, now you've read the story, you probably won't. You probably just like put that back in the bucket and go dump it back in the ocean.
Yes. A foot, though. Like just feet.
That's fucking crazy. That's crazy.
So feet, though, are one of the more innocent parts, not indicating foul play. When a body part spends a long time in water, it comes apart at certain weak points, which is
elbows,
the ankles
and
the wrists. Oh, yep. Are the weakest of those points. While hands are usually not attached to anything, feet are in shoes. Shoes can either have some type of light rubbery soles and can trap pockets of air that lift the foot upwards, letting it float ashore.
The Air Max, the bubble.
Yep. That leads to the question of why the feet just started turning up now. An early theory posed by some people before two victims were identified was that these were the remains of people who have been killed in the tsunami of 2004.
Oh, wow. Yep.
None of the shoes then have been identified as models that have been made after 2004.
Wow. Yeah, because you said the other shoes were like from Indian shoes from 2003?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like some other ones was found like Nikes and like New Balances.
Sure.
That haven't been, those wasn't.
Outer.
It wasn't out around that time.
Got it.
So the fact that 3 out of 9 have been identified as local people and not tsunami victims put a damper on that theory.
Sure.
Other people suggested that it could be the increasing bulk of athletic shoes. As sneakers are getting bigger and puffier, they become more lightweight and more remains float along long enough to make it to the beach. Still, there were plenty of big sneakers in the 1990s, and not as many feet were found then.
Yeah, Patrick Ewing had shoes in the 90s.
Yeah.
Those things are huge.
Huge. Those and the Barclays.
It's like Carnival cruise ships.
Yeah. Not my type of shoe, though. I won't be wearing a shoe like that.
Well, especially not if your foot's going to be floating up to shore. You don't want to be the last thing your foot gets seen in is a Barclay.
Right. In the end, it could be selection bias. People are more likely to look for feet. Now people go to beaches and go like,
other stuff could be washing up,
but if it's a foot, it's like, oh.
Makes news, makes headlines.
So people are more likely to look for feet and report them now that the feet have been part of this phenomenon. People are more likely to look. They're more likely to report. The press is more likely to report on their reporting. And it's just saying that a mystery is made.
Yeah.
Now, some people was commenting on their, you know, whatever their conspiracy could be. And somebody went.
Deep.
Like, talking about, I'm going to just give you a little bit of an example. So it was like, I don't care what anyone says, I'm calling a serial killer. Specifically, a serial killer obsessed with Greek mythology. with the exception of, I believe, two sneakers. Listen to this shit. With the exception of, I believe, two sneakers, all the sneakers have been Nike. The Greek goddess of victory, the other two, New Balance, which if you're not up on your sneakers, has a large N on the side. If you have never heard of New Balance, the N on the side of a running shoe could be mistaken for Nike. People have been saying that the feet could be washing up from the ocean, but most of the feet have been found on the shores of rivers. And the ones who haven't made have simply floated from the rivers to open waters, then back to shores. So listen, we have Nikes and Greek goddess of victory, feet found in rivers, all severed at the Achilles tendon, no legs, no half feet.
This is
just at the point someone is playing the Achilles myth, Achilles' only weakness, the point where he could now be victorious with his foot because his mother missed that point when she dipped him in some crazy. I was like, what?
That person watches too much Dexter.
You're reaching.
You watch too much Dexter, man. That's it's so rare that a serial killer is that complex. You know,
just feet.
Yeah.
Just like keeping the bodies,
like,
though.
What we believe the Zodiac killer to be, the Son of Sam, like leaving note clippings.
Another article, I read that too.
Yeah. They just aren't typically that. It's not the Riddler from Batman. Like most serial killers don't go that deep. And nobody's ever mistaken a Nike for a New Balance.
Yeah.
The Nike check is the most famous logo in the world. Yeah. Nobody's like, oh, a Nike. No, that's never happened. So that was a big old reach.
Yeah.
I respect the reach. You know, I think that person's brain works in a fantastical way. They should write fiction.
For sure.
Which they did right there. That was fiction, what you just read.
But
that's crazy.
They go, Achilles, that's his weak. Like, what?
I would lead more toward two things that you said in there. People committing suicide. So if you commit suicide, you jump off a bridge into a body of water. However you commit suicide, if you end up in the water, your body sinks down, starts to get eroded and decompose in the water, and then your foot, because it's at a joint part, probably your elbow, other parts, the shoe it detaches from you over time as you decompose in the water, pops up, gets caught up on the in the current and ends up on a shore somewhere.
Yeah.
And then the tsunami thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a whole bunch of bodies down there that are still decomposing, and the right amount of wiggle on a very rocky, wavy day jostles loose a foot from a dead body, and then the shoe pops up and washes ashore, you know? Those make way more sense than a fucking...
I was thinking...
The Greek mythology serial killer.
Where I went was, you know...
Take me there.
Possibly a serial killer.
Sure. I'm not denying that it's possible it was a serial killer. Yeah.
You know, whatever he's doing with killing these bodies, whatever, dropping them into the water. And
sure.
Then, you know, he is...
But not like he's cutting off the feet.
He's dropping them into water, and it's just...
And then the process
shark
happened.
Infested waters.
Okay.
And sharks can eat. I don't think they eat...
Shoes.
I don't think they... I think they just go for, like, the meat or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And they don't eat the extremities.
The marine biologists are going to come for you.
Possibly. Maybe they just don't eat feet. They just eat the body, and then everything else they just let go.
Maybe they don't eat Indian shoes or Patrick Ewing's and stuff like that. You know,
maybe they're very particular about the types of shoes.
Yeah. They don't just eat any kind of shoe.
Yeah,
that's also possible. Yeah. Anything
you have Vans on? No, thank you.
Yeah, no. What are those British Knights?
Yeah,
I don't like British Knights. I'll slander British Knights. That's fine with me. Yeah, I'm down with
that at one point though.
British Knights?
Yeah,
yeah, at a point. Yeah, not anymore though.
They tried to come back. They tried.
K Swiss.
They tried to come back.
You know,
you had a bad Christmas?
No,
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
When?
Oh, that was before I met you.
Yeah, I'm sure it was because I would have definitely whatever. What are those?
Yeah.
Before that was.
Yeah.
I would have watered those. Yeah.
Well, you had G Unit, so
I did not have G Unit. Well, let's not go this again. Those were Rod Lever Adidas. They are very coveted now.
Okay,
I was just a fashion forward kid.
Okay.
People didn't understand.
If you had G Units, fine.
Didn't have G Units.
All right.
But yeah, no, maybe sharks don't eat. Sharks definitely don't eat G-Unit sneakers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm down with any theory involving anything, really, serial killer even. But anything that's like, this person cuts off the feet because to sacrifice the feet and the new, anything like that, I'm not with.
That's like a script.
Yes, that's somebody writing fiction.
Yeah, for sure.
I think no matter what the cause is, the effect is the same in all of them, that the water erodes these bodies, decomposes them, and then the foot detaches, and then the shoe being able to bring the foot up to the surface.
Yeah.
I think that's like, the no matter what happened to get the bodies there, I think that's the same
scenario in all of them. It's all the way the water decomposes the bodies ends up detaching the feet. Whether or not it's from suicide, a tsunami, being killed, mob hits, anything like that, the feet coming off is probably all the product of the bodies decomposing within the water.
Can we go to the ocean floor now? Is that possible?
Oh, there's so much of the ocean that's never been explored. It's too much pressure.
They have
unmanned ships that can go down with a camera on but the unmanned ships have to be so small and it's so sophisticated. But even still, I think even the machines that we have, they still can't go all the way down. And I could be wrong about that, but I know there's never been a manned ship that's gone to the ocean.
But they don't have anything. I can't wait.
It's so dark down there, man.
It's probably some crazy shit.
Oh, it is. That's where they found all those bioluminescent fish and everything.
What if people just walking around down there? That will be so wild shit.
just get on corner camera and they're like, oh, hi.
It's like, what?
Crazy, man. I don't know if it's people walking around down there. Whatever is down there, if there is something intelligent down there, it looks crazy. It's blind.
Yeah. Why can't they bring up them little ugly fish that's down there? Why can't they put those in an aquarium or something?
Probably because they survive down there. Like, it's a whole different environment. It's a whole different sea life.
Do they have a little light in front of them?
Some of them are bioluminescent.
Why can't they grab?
Some of them have their whole exoskeleton is, you can see through the whole body and they glow.
They should be able to figure out something out by now.
But it's like, what if you can't bring them? They only survive in that pressure, in that environment, in that darkness. If you bring them up into the light, it could kill them. But
that's
you never know. There's so much of the ocean that has never been explored, and yet we keep sending rockets to Mars. And they're going to leave us here, bro. They're leaving us here. The rich people are leaving us here. I got a whole conspiracy about that. I always have these questions about why these young people get married so young, like Hollywood celebrities, like Justin Bieber and shit. I'm like,
have kids?
They're pairing off. They're like, they got money, they're pairing off. It's probably like, I bet whatever, if it's an American company, whatever company fucking sells $1 million tickets to, hey, we're going to Mars, you can come. You got to buy a plot on Mars, and I bet it's religious based. I bet they're going to do like a Noah's Ark type of thing where it's like, you have to be married and you have to be heterosexual. It's going to be some evil corporation type of shit. This is where my brain goes when I'm sitting in bed.
Yeah, you can't tell me this is the only planet that people can live on.
For now. I think we're the generation that's like starting to lay the foundation to like, oh, people are about to leave here.
Yeah.
They're going to be moon bases and people trying to get to Mars. And it's like, you might not get to Mars, but you can get on the ship that's going to Mars. And it's nice. And it's like a cruise ship.
Yeah.
And you can have kids and procreate and just survive until we get to Mars. So your kids will get to Mars. But that's going to be exclusive for like, you know, rich millionaires, political candidates, some of the top tier celebrities.
That's crazy.
Whenever I see these celebrities get married young, I'm like, y'all must know something. I mean, I know they probably did all the fucking, and Justin Bieber's fucked everything.
Yeah.
So him getting married, he's like, I just want somebody that I can go to dinner with every night. I'm tired. I just want to talk to somebody. I've fucked everything.
Yeah.
I'm done with that now. So in a way, that's probably more likely the solution.
Yeah.
But my brain always goes somewhere dark where I'm like, you're 21 and you have millions of dollars. You're getting married.
Yeah.
I'm like, something's up. You know something we don't know. So, I don't know where I was going with that, but great story. Fascinating.
Feet.
Just washing up on the shore.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That's crazy. Yeah, man. Wow. Well, I don't have an answer. Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever get the answer to that. I think it's wrapped up somewhere in all the stuff that you said. The feet are detaching from the bodies, and the answer's there somewhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to take a quick
break. But some stuff we can just, like, overthink it.
Yeah, it's probably not that deep.
Yeah.
It's just like a body you leave a body in the water too long, it starts to fall apart.
Yeah.
Crumble and shit or whatever. Crumble's probably weird. You know, bread gets wet.
Yeah.
And then it just starts breaking apart. Yeah. That, but with a body. And then the feet, then your hirachis come up on the shore with your feet in the hirachi.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. if you had to die in a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
What would it be?
Oh, Jordan 14's last shots. Easy.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Okay, I respect that.
Favorite shoe?
Yeah, that's a very good answer.
What about you?
Me probably would be, I really enjoy the Griffies. I like the Griffies. They're comfortable shoes.
Mm-hmm.
They're like underrated.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't that, it would probably be, I like the Nike Pro Reacts, like the new ones with a lot of cushion on the sole and that kind of stuff. Or Adidas Boost shoes. Very much comfort and meets style.
Like Kanye's?
For. Not Kanye's.
Not Kanye.
But
okay.
The Boost technology.
All right.
So like a just a Boost.
But you don't like Kanye's though? You said like you don't like
not
Kanye's.
Did you see the new ones?
Yeah.
They look like space Crocs. They like future Crocs.
I was talking about he got some tennis shoes out.
Oh, I don't deny that. Like some of the Yeezys look pretty dope.
But those are.
I just.
Didn't he come out saying he gonna make affordable clothing?
That's what he said.
That's bullshit. Don't. Why I wouldn't. That's why I'm not gonna buy him.
That's what I mean. It's like because it's all bullshit. He just talks. That's why it's like because I remember that he was like, man, I remember going to school. And I didn't have enough money to get fresh. Kids shouldn't have to worry about not having money to look fresh. So I want to make shoes for kids to be able to afford to look fresh. Meanwhile, these shoes cost like $1,600.
Yeah. So and beat up shirts. No, thank you.
You're out of your mind. But no, either the Griffies, some kind of Boost technology, mm-hmm. or the Nike Pro Reacts. I like those very much. Those are kind of my favorite shoes right now. The Nike Pro Reacts. They're very comfortable, meets flashy style. Mm. You know, I was never really a shoe guy.
Yeah,
I like to put on a nice outfit. Fran was like a shoe.
I love shoes.
Shoe guy.
I love shoes.
Yeah, shooted and booted for sure.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
I will throw a white t-shirt on in a minute.
Crazy
with some crazy shoes.
Yeah.
I love
that for sure. That's a fact. What we're gonna do is we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, it's my turn to tell you guys some fucked up shit. So stick around. All right, and we are back. Fran, my affirmative murder this week is the story of Tiffany Harville. I got this story from thecriminaljournal.com. It was written by Angelica Sumter. Mm-hmm. Fucked up story, but I felt like, you know, need to shed some light on it. If people haven't heard about it, feel like it should be told. So Tiffany Harville was murdered in 1995 by Dominique Ray. She was a 15-year-old student at Selma High School at the time that her body was found in a cotton field in Dallas County, Alabama. On July 15th, 1995, Mary Coleman gave her daughter $6 before leaving her home in Selma to attend a work event. When she returned the following day, Tiffany was gone. And relatives and friends knew nothing about her whereabouts. So she had been gone since her mom last saw her, and everybody was like, "Yeah, she didn't come here. She didn't go there. We haven't seen her."
Yeah.
So that's when her mom contacted the Selma Police Department and reported Tiffany missing, which prompted a citywide search.
Mm.
When Dominique Ray found out that Tiffany Hall's family was passing out flyers in Selma, he offered to help. Offered to help with the reward money. And that he would call her family to check on them. So he really ingratiated himself.
Being extra helpful.
Yeah. Lending extra hands and calling all the time. You guys find out anything new? Yeah.
And this guy doesn't give, especially if somebody that's you just like selfish, don't do shit.
Also, they don't know him that well. He's not related to the family or anything. I think he just was like, "I'm a friend of Tiffany's. Like, I just really want to help." You know. After a month of searching, Tiffany was found dead. Mm. On August 16th, 1995, a man operating a tractor along County Road 62 in Dallas County, Alabama, encountered the skeletal remains in a cotton field.
Mm.
And this was 1995, 96. I already could tell this would be trending on Twitter as like a hate crime. If, you know, a black girl found in a cotton field, they would have tried to connect the dots and everything. So, you know, the social media machine would have been spinning on that pretty heavily. The remains were sent to the Alabama Department of Forensic Science for identification. A local pathologist later identified the remains as Tiffany Harville. An autopsy revealed that Tiffany sustained a dozen defects in the skull consistent with stab wounds caused by a knife.
Wow.
Three of those defects were of sufficient severity that the weapon had penetrated the skull and entered the brain area, inflicting fatal trauma. So somebody
stab wound?
Yeah. To the face and skull. Other marks on the bones of the hand and wrists were consistent with defensive types of wounds. So she was very much alive while she was suffering this attack.
That's crazy, man.
I don't even stab some wound, stuff that man. I see, I'm like, I don't understand how you could be a person standing over somebody and doing that. You know what I mean? Like it's like so evil that it's hard to comprehend, really.
Yeah.
Although the Selma Police Department and Dallas County Sheriff's Department worked diligently to find Tiffany Harville's killer, her case went unsolved for 2 years. It wasn't until 1997 when Marcus Oden, who was incarcerated at the time, approached an officer and stated that Dominique Ray had killed Tiffany Harville after they raped her.
They?
They, like him
And some, and
so he's already in prison.
Yeah,
I guess for a significant amount of time to try to use this to get a reduced sentence or something. But he came forward and said, "Me and Dominique Ray raped Tiffany Harville, and then he killed her. And I want to use that for whatever leverage he. I don't. It doesn't say in here. Probably. I don't think it says in here what that he got anything. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like it just was like sitting on his conscience. It must have felt like it could. He could use it for something."
Oh, yeah, because he probably wouldn't have said anything.
That's what I mean, yeah. Odin told the police that Ray had several conversations with him about wanting to have sexual intercourse with the teen, meaning Tiffany. Mm-hmm. Dominique Ray confessed to the killing, but he told investigators that Odin was the aggressor. So they're going back and forth about whose idea it was and everything like that. Police learned through an investigation that on the night of July 15th, 1995, Dominique Ray and Marcus Odin picked up Tiffany Harville at her home and then drove her and then drove to Sardis Community near Highway 41. While there, Ray began making sexual advances towards Tiffany. She rejected him and told him to stop, but he disregarded her demand and proceeded to rape her. Odin also jumped in and raped her afterwards. So they, you know, they took turns. Afterward, Ray slit Tiffany's throat and repeatedly stabbed her before removing her clothing and taking the $6 that her mother gave her from her purse.
$6?
$6. It wasn't a robbery, but he was just like, on top of all this, I'm going to take the money. That's so foul, man. He then drove to a cotton field outside of town and discarded her remains and fled the area. In 1999, Dominique Ray was convicted of the murder of Tiffany Harville and he was sentenced to death. Ray was already incarcerated, serving a life sentence for the murders of two brothers, Jesus, Reinhard Mabins, who was 13, and 18-year-old Ernest Mabins. Court documents indicated that Ray shot and killed the brothers in February of 1994 when they were reluctant to join his gang. Mm-hmm. So this dude was just on a tear.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. So I probably would say it was Ray who was the aggressor.
He's this hothead. Ray, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Dominique Ray and Marcus Odin probably was like, I mean, I don't want him to kill me for not following
for not his joining
lead.
His gang.
Yeah. So they raped a girl. So that's no excuse. But I'm just saying, Dominique Ray sounds like he probably was the leader, and Marcus Odin might have been following more of his lead.
Yeah.
But they're both horrible rapists and monsters. So, yeah. But even so, killing a 13-year-old boy because he didn't want to join your gang. That's evil. The Alabama Supreme Court ordered Dominique Ray's execution to be carried out on February 7th, 2019 at the Holman Correctional Facility. However, the Federal Appeals Court thwarted the planned execution a day before it was scheduled. Ray argued his religious rights were being violated for not allowing an imam present in the execution chamber. I don't know if that's Muslim or I'm not sure what that is. An imam. If anybody knows what imam, what that is, I would love to know. I'm not familiar, but it must be some version of a priest in another religion.
Oh, it's a person who leads prayers in a mosque.
Okay, yeah, so something like a priest, yeah. But in like the Islam religion.
Yeah.
His priest or his imam's name was Yusuf Maisonet. He asked if he could stand next to him during the procedure. But he was told only prison employees were allowed in the chamber for security reasons, which is perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like he was probably allowed there behind the glass or, you know, they have that parlor where you can watch, like lawyers and stuff can watch or family members of the person. Yeah. There is a room where you can be. He's saying.
Did lawyers have to be there for that?
Dude, who?
The lawyers. I will go. I can't.
I don't. I you might. And that might be a legal requirement. Like if you're the representative, I'm not sure. But like it's open to some crowd of people. And I think, yeah, families of people can go. And you know, oh, no, God, no. There's nothing, like, thrilling, at least, especially not in 2019. It's not an electric chair. They just inject you, you go to sleep, and then you're not alive anymore.
Yeah, but for somebody to be like, yeah, I've seen, like, 10 of them. I've been
there. Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I wouldn't want to go to one. I'm saying it like it's not a big deal, but I wouldn't want to see somebody's soul leave their body. But, yeah, they told him, like, he can be there, but he can't be in the room next to you.
Yeah.
And they were like, he was like, my religious rights are being violated. So I want to, what do they call it? I'm appealing on that basis. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Supreme Court cleared the way, allowing the execution to continue without an imam in the chamber. Dominique Ray was the first inmate of 2019 to be put to death in the state of Alabama. Mm. He was pronounced dead at 10:12 p.m. at the age of 42, according to the Huffington Post.
It's just a needle, right? It's just like a...
Yeah, it's like several shots. I think they do one that paralyzes you, one that stops your heart, or it might just be two. It might be one that paralyzes you, and then the other one stops your heart.
Why do you do that? Why do you do the one that paralyzes you?
Or it might not paralyze, maybe put you to sleep.
Oh, okay.
Might put you to sleep and then stop your heart.
Hmm.
I believe. I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong.
Yeah.
It's kind of the theme of this show. If you're looking for some kind of scientific thing, I'm
listening to you. Whatever you say, I'm agreeing with you. I guess that's how it goes.
I feel like the point of an... For the umpteenth time, I'm against the death penalty. Newsflash. But I feel like the point of the death penalty originally was you did something really horrible, so we're going to do something horrible to you.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're just peacefully killing people, you might as well just give them life in prison. I mean, like, if you're not, if it's not this eye for an eye vengeful thing that it started out as,
yeah,
you know, then what's the point of even doing it anymore? Especially if innocent people are being killed.
Mm, yeah.
You know, if it's not this vindictive, I almost understood the brutality more when it was the firing squads and the electric chairs. It's like, you did this, you killed a kid, you did this, you whatever. You bombed a school, so we're going to shoot you with 40 guns.
That's what I agree with when they know, like, hey, this was the person.
Yeah.
They know, they have confidence. This is the person.
Do your worst to them.
Do your worst. To get the firing squad on them. That's,
yeah.
That I agree with.
Sure.
That I agree with.
Yeah.
Just like the story you did last week. What was last week, right? The guy just died twice. So
yeah, yeah. But that guy, I think he was innocent.
Innocent. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so whatever crime you're being accused of, though, is so horrible that if you did do it, we want to make sure that it feels like you got your comeuppance.
Yeah.
But if you're just like, here's a needle, go to sleep, here's a needle, you're dead, it's like, well, then send them to therapy and put them in jail for the rest of it. I mean, you might as well just study them if you're going to just peacefully put them to sleep, you know, if you're not, if there's not some some vindictiveness behind it. But anyway, like I said, he was pronounced dead at the age of 42. Marcus Odin is currently serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole at William Donaldson Correctional Facility. Mm. Rest in peace to Tiffany Harville, a young 15-year-old girl. Prayers to her family, her mom, you know, coming home. I know what it's like to, my mom used to work nights when I was a kid, so I know what it's like to, you know, be a latchkey kid and have a lot of time at home to yourself or go to a family member's house and everything. And I couldn't imagine my mom's reaction to, like, oh, yeah, he's just been gone for the day. Like, you get to this routine. You get used to a routine. You know, like, hey, when I'm not home, lock the door. Don't open the door for anybody. There's food in the fridge. I know those moms. Like, I know those moms. I grew up around those moms. Like, I have to work to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
So I have to work nights or whatever. And for her to come home and be like, you know, where's Tiffany? And nobody has heard from her. And she just happened to go out with some guys that she thought were her friends. Or maybe she liked Marcus and didn't like Ray. And Ray came on to her and she's like, no, I like Marcus. And then you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere with these two dudes and they're both on the same. Marcus isn't going to step up and try to stop Ray because he's scared of him. Yeah. And, you know, or they're both on the same bullshit, dark, evil shit. And you're just stuck out there and you're left in their hands to, you know, then they do what they want to you. And she suffered a horrible fate and that's absolutely tragic. But I'm glad that whatever compelled Marcus to come forward and, you know, say his piece.
It didn't reduce his sentence.
It didn't reduce it. He had life. Good, so, good. Maybe it was his conscience. I don't know. You know, something told him to come and say something. And I'm glad that he did. And I'm glad that he got justice served to him in all those regards. And
yeah.
Absolutely fucking tragic, man. What a dark, twisted world we live in. But, that was my affirmative murder, the story of the murder of Tiffany Harville from 1995-1996. Prayers to her. What we're going to do is we're going to get into these good vibes. This was, aside from the foot stuff, because there was no names to put to that, that actually was like just kind of like an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a heavy, we talked about some shit that kind of got me in dark space. So we need some good vibes. That's right, folks. As I said, we're looking to uplift the spirits a bit with some good vibes. Before I get into the good vibes, I just wanted to read a couple of some mail that we found in the P.O. box that we wanted to just shout out some people. First of all, a nice woman named Angela A. Your last name is a lot, but it also ends with an A. She sent us a very lovely card. It's from February. We weren't able to get to it until lately. No, the post office has been a little chaotic. Shout out to Philip DeJoy. And, beat dropped.
That's fire.
Yeah. And lastly, we not only got an awesome letter, but we got some awesome keychains from a listener named Bree Wee. She's incredibly awesome. She sent us some really awesome keychains, so I want to just plug her socials and everything because she sells jewelry, paintings, and sculptures. Her Instagram is at Astrofusion, Astrofusion _oddity, ODDITY. She sells all kind of awesome stuff. She sent us a few awesome keychains. We really appreciate those. And she also sent us some Rice Krispie treats. I thought they were okay, Fran. As I told you, I'm a purist, man. There's caramel and chocolate involved, and yeah, it's like too much. I'm an original kind of guy.
Yeah, I haven't eaten mine yet, so I haven't tasted it.
Well, I don't mean to undersell them to you. Please open it and enjoy it. But I'm just saying, for me, as a purist, a Rice Krispie purist, it was a lot going on for me. But shout out to shout out to Bree Wee and shout out to Astrofusion. I love to see people out there trying to make their own thing happen and be independent, bossing up and doing business things. Her website is also called astrofusionoddity.store. So go look that up, check that out, and support a fellow Affirminator. Thank you very much to the two of you for supporting us. Fran, my good vibe story this week is very on brand for us, so that's why I decided to read it. It is a story about how a parole officer used an empathy training program and it ended up leading to a 13% drop in his parolees reoffending and ended up back in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So heavy caseloads, job stress, and biases can negatively affect relations between these officers and their clients, leading to the likelihood of offenders landing back behind bars. A positive psychology intervention developed by UC Berkeley suggests that non-judgmental empathy training helps court-appointed supervision officers feel more comfortable or feel more emotionally connected to their clients, which the new study shows might deter from criminal backsliding. It's almost like if you treat somebody like a person, you can get through to them and maybe help them change their life around instead of just treating them like a caseload or just some fucking part of your day that you have to reluctantly get through. The findings published last month in the Journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Science show, on average, a 13% decrease in recidivism among the clients of parole and probation officers who participated in the empathy training experiment. If an officer received the empathy training, real-world behavioral outcomes changed for the people they supervised, who in turn were less likely to go back to jail, said the study led and senior author Jason Akinofua, an assistant professor of psychology at UC Berkeley. The results are particularly salient because the U.S. criminal justice system has among the highest rates of recidivism, because prisons are not about rehabilitation. They're just a place to store people and make people into worse criminals. But the rates of recidivism in America are approximately 66% of incarcerated people arrested will, within 3 years of their release, end up back behind bars.
Mm.
Okinofua, who has led similar interventions for school teachers to check their biases before disciplining students, points out that ongoing criminal justice reforms are diverting more people away from incarceration and toward probation or parole, which is why we need to develop scalable ways to keep pace with this change. At the invitation of a correctional department in a large East Coast city, Okinofua and graduate students in his lab at UC Berkeley sought out to find if a more caring approach on the part of a court-appointed supervision officer would reverse trends in recidivism. For the study, researchers surveyed more than 200 people and probation officers who oversee more than 20,000 people convicted of crimes ranging from violent crimes to petty theft. They make sure that their clients don't miss a drug test or a court hearing and provide resources to help them stay out of trouble and out of jail. The researchers designed and administered a 30-minute online empathy survey that focused on the officer's job motivation, biases, and views on the relationships and responsibilities. It'd also be interesting if these people failed these things, if you should be like, make a recommendation, and they're like, they shouldn't do this job.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're like, oh, I hate all the people that come in for parole, and I hate people who are criminals, and I think that they have no, you're like, oh, well, you don't, you shouldn't be in charge of people's life this way. You're kind of like a bad person. To trigger their sense of purpose and values and tap into their empathy, the UC Berkeley survey asked what parts of the work they found fulfilling. One respondent talked about how when I run across those guys and they're doing well, I'm like, awesome. Others reported that being an advocate for people in need was the most important to them. As for addressing biases, including assumptions that certain people are predisposed to a life of crime, which is racist, the survey cited egregious cases in which probation and parole officers abused their power over those under their supervision, which I'm sure that happens a lot. So this
is new.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I could send you back to jail like that. If that's anything you even say to somebody on probation, you shouldn't be doing the job.
Yeah.
Because you're lording your power.
Them.
Yeah, you're like, you're lording your power over their life in a way that's really wrong and fucked up and puts them in a position. Because at the end of the day, people have pride. And that's why my whole thing is like, when people say like, oh, turn the other cheek, and a lot of things that people say. And it's like, if somebody spits in your face, yeah, it's easy to go like, well, they didn't touch you and everything. But you put somebody in a position to let you, like, emasculate them, embarrass them, make them feel worthless. And you're just like, yeah, but don't do anything. So if I'm sitting in front of my parole officer and they're calling me all kind of trash and telling me they could send me to jail and all this kind of stuff, and then if I react to that, they could just send me back to, you know, it's a weird dynamic there. And they should be trying to weed out those people. Those people should be trying to help, you know. Even if, you know, it's the same thing with teaching. Like, a lot of teachers, like, you're not going to be able to, every student that you teach isn't going to go to Harvard and become a millionaire surgeon.
Yeah.
But you should treat every student like you're going to give them the best possible chance to do that.
Yeah.
And some of them are going to let you down, and some of them are going to blow you away. And that's the job. It should be the same way as a parole officer. You should be like, I hope you get your kids back. I hope you can find a job, and I hope that I'm going to do everything I can to try to keep you on that path. But if you reoffend and end up back in prison, damn, that sucks. But like, I'm going to treat the next person with that same optimism.
Yeah.
And the day that you don't have that optimism anymore, you should hang it up. That goes to teachers too. I feel like that day that you no longer get that spark as a teacher, where you're trying to like, you know, inspire the kids, yeah, and once you're just like there to collect a paycheck, you should just hang it up, man. But yeah, so survey takers were also asked to rate how much responsibility they bear as officers and members of a profession for their peers' transgressions. Most answered that they bore no responsibility. So basically they're saying like, you know, if they're not good at their job, that's not on me. I don't have to monitor them. 10 months after administering the training, researchers found that found a 13% decrease in recidivism among the offenders whose parole and probation officers had completed the empathy survey. Research protocols bar identifying the agency and its location. While the study yielded no specifics on what prevented the parolees and people on probation from reoffending in that period of time following the officer's empathy training, the results suggested that a change in relationship dynamics played a key role. The officer in position of power to influence if it's going to be an empathetic or punitive relationship in ways that the person on parole or probation is not, Okanufua said. As our study shows, the relationship between probation and parole officers and the people they supervise plays a pivotal role and can lead to positive outcomes if efforts to be more understanding are taken into consideration. So basically, if you treat these people like people and, you know, really make them feel like you're rooting for them and you're hoping for the best from them, they will respond to that in a lot of situations. And that can lead to people believing that they can make those changes. And then in a lot of situations, possibly even achieving those changes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, you know, be mindful. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And, you know, let's take the capitalism out of the criminal justice system and really let's get to making, corrective, reform and change in the criminal justice system. If you go to prison, you should come out a better person than you went in. You shouldn't come out worse. So yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, man, I agree. Like you said, that those prisons are storage for
Yeah.
Human beings.
And during your storage, you get trained on, like, actually, you know how you can pick locks like this?
Yeah.
Like, you are put in positions to end up worse off than when you came in.
Yeah. Heighten your criminal skills.
Yes.
So my good vibe is, I mean, I don't even know if this is a good vibe. Because I'm probably just going to shit on this dude.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I think I've done a good vibe like this before.
Okay.
So this was when a new worker at a charity shop found stacks of $100 bills stuffed inside two old sweaters. She thought they must be fake.
Okay.
The store associate at Goodwill Industries then realized they were absolutely real, and the cash totaled $42,000.
Mm. And some sweaters.
Andrea Lessing was in the bank. I mean, was in the back sorting clothes and looking for rips or stains when she saw the treasure.
Mm.
And the first thing she thought of was her six-year-old daughter.
So she thought it was like Monopoly money or something? No, she thought of her daughter like, oh, this could change everything.
Exactly. Her birthday is coming up in July, so I can actually give her an amazing birthday party.
Oh, a party?
Yeah, she told the local news station. But Lessing says she believes in karma and couldn't imagine keeping the money for herself. Wrong. She reported
the
lost
the way
cash.
I would have kept that money.
What?
And not been on the news. The way I just would have took that money home.
Nobody would even know I had that. Nobody. Nobody in that place. And that work, that's Goodwill, wouldn't even know I found that money.
Oh, no. Oh, not a God single person. Damn, oh, my God. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, Miss Stacy, I'm sick.
No, I'm going to finish the shift. I'm going to finish this.
Oh, you going to be able to play it that cool?
Yeah, man. Wow. I'm going to finish the shift. And I will be calling out tomorrow. Day after.
Shit, I work at Goodwill. I might quit off $42,000. I might start a new business or something.
She reported the lost cash, and the shop in the Norman, Oklahoma, was able to track down the owner, thanks to some identifiable documentation that was bundled with the money inside the donation.
Bro, $42,000 in Oklahoma is like $67,000.
The owners who had forgotten about the money. The owner forgot about the money. When they donated the clothes, gave Andrea $1,000.
Whoop-de-doo.
Which made her break down and cry.
That she gave up $43,000. I would have cried too. The moment I give them the money is when it was set in for me. Like, what the fuck am I doing?
What did I just do? What did I just do? Since we gave her the reward on Thursday, I spoke to her yesterday, and she is still in shock and awed by the generosity. Lacey Lett, the director of communications of Goodwill Industries of Central Oklahoma, told GNN. Reportedly, it's not just the largest cash find in Oklahoma Goodwill in history. It ranks among the top finds for Goodwill internationally. And the reward will help Andrea give her daughter an amazing birthday.
$1,000?
Yep, I made the right decision, Lessing said. Mm. And her belief that if you do something good, then something good will come back to you. I don't agree with that.
I just would have had
turn
to
turn out
yeah.
to.
I would have risked it. I would have risked the karma on that one.
Yeah. First of all, if I was her, I'd have kept that money, especially if nobody was around me in the back.
Bro, and the way that they would have come back and be like, excuse me, you guys didn't find, like, the way the sociopath would have came out of me, like, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Money? No, we don't find stuff like that. No.
Mm-mm. The owner forgot. And
I got a Rolex on. I got a Rolex on while I'm talking to him.
You get that money back. And they go, yeah, we forgot about it or whatever. Y'all forgot about it, but y'all give her $1,000? Obviously, you didn't need the money.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I could never forget. $42,000.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. I forgot
wrapped
all about
up in
that.
The sweatpants.
Come on, man. A person that can forget $42,000, the way I would have made it karma, I'd have been like, well, these are obviously drug dealers. This is drug money. Who has $42,000 in cash? These are drug dealers. And they don't deserve this money. They're bad people.
$1,000.
And I would have kept it regardless. I would have kept it if the clothes that they gave me were like nun clothes.
Yeah.
Like a nun's outfit. Like, oh, I'm just donating to this Goodwill. I'd be like, oh, well, $42,000. Awesome. Wow. Thanks. That's so awesome. I found it in this nun habit.
Yeah.
I would have kept that so easily.
$1,000, he wrong.
And not lost a drop of sleep.
He wrong for that.
What? Who?
The guy. He wrong for that.
For giving them $1,000?
He wrong.
Yeah, you got to break. Give her five or something.
At least.
Come on. Here's a $20 bill. Thank you so much.
Get that shit out of my face.
And then, you know,
face,
Goodwill,
man,
was like, you know, for your good deed, we're going to give you a plaque.
Employee of the month?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Fucking great. I fucking...
He wrong, man. I'm sorry. He wrong for that. That ain't right.
No.
That is not right.
I would have been like, at least five. And also, I would have been like, why did you give this back? Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I mean, I would not have given this back to me. But no. Thank you so much.
No.
I would have been laughing at her. I mean, I wouldn't have blamed you if you just kept it. I mean, why wouldn't you? Thanks for my money back, stupid. I mean, what are you, dumb? Just go all in, go in on him. What are you, fucking stupid? Thanks, though, idiot. look at your stupid, dumb face. Here's $1,000. Throw it at her. Here's $1,000. Thanks, stupid. I stole this money. I stole it. I robbed the bank for this money. You stupid dummy. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. That was an idiotic
shout
move.
Out to Andrea. We're just and fucking then, with you. Yeah, Andrea, that's a good person. You did the right thing. You did the right thing.
I don't know about that one, but he wrong for that. You could have gave him more than that, bro.
A stack.
You could have wrong. You wrong for that one.
One stack.
Yeah.
You spend a dollar, you don't even got a stack anymore. It's not
That's
even $1,000.
He broke it.
Lose the comma. As soon as you spend anything, you lose the comma and everything. It's not even $1,000.
I've been at 42 racks, bro.
The money, the things you could do. Seriously, though, the things you could do with $42,000 in Oklahoma, you could open up your own Goodwill.
That's life-changing, man.
You could just be like, get your own Goodwill chain.
Yeah.
If you love Goodwill so much, you could now be Andrea, the owner of a Goodwill.
That money could be life-changing. Yeah, she fucked up on that one. Sorry, but you know.
Shout out to Andrea.
Yeah.
Look, much love to Andrea. You did the right thing and everything.
It may come back around.
No, $42,000? No, that's not coming back. I don't know. How does karma repay you in that?
I have no idea.
Ooh,
that's why I would have kept it.
Extra pepperonis on my pizza.
That's why I would have kept it.
Thanks. Thanks, karma.
That's why I kept it.
Like, God,
karma, and you lose it.
Yeah.
You
oh, my God. The parking meter. We got an extra hour for free. Oh, man. Good thing I gave back that $42,000. Man, karma's something else. Man. You know karma don't work in those crazy kind of ways.
Nah.
Come back on some old bullshit.
Yeah.
Whoa. Two pairs of shoes for the price of one? Karma. That's karma.
No,
$42,000. I'm keeping that. You're right, though. The way I would have got through that shift and nobody would have known anything.
Nobody could have bothered me in that shift. Somebody could have spit on me during that shift. I would have been like,
do-do-do-do-do.
I'm fine.
Man, when is it time to go home? Have a nice day, sir. Bag the shit up.
You could have did nothing.
These pants said $20. Why are you charging me $27?
You know what?
All right.
That's
you
my
know
mistake.
What? God bless you, sir.
Yep, that's my mistake. I'd have been good.
Put on, that would be the song, man. Those gray skies are gonna clear up. Put on a happy. Fuck you. I hate you. That's why you work at Goodwill. Yeah, thank you, sir. You have a blessed day. Thank you very much. All right.
Punch out. You fucking haul ass out of that store.
Do one of those jumps where you click both your feet together.
Why is he so happy? Like, she's so happy.
She really loves working at Goodwill. Oh, man. What a day that would have been. Getting in my car. Goodness. Oh, man.
Oh, nobody could do nothing to throw me off my. Oh my goodness, man!
The way my day would, my night would have been so beautiful. I mean, you know, let me go for a drink. You know what? A round of drinks
everybody.
On me. Yeah, oh,
everybody.
Man. They would have been like, Andrea's on a different type of vibe. Think about the karma that you could have done for yourself with that $42,000. You go to a bar, buy everybody around.
Yeah.
Give your daughter the party of a, you know, what, Benton, whatever the kids are into these days. Give your kid a fucking. Whatever theme birthday party, Bob's Burgers theme birthday party, and all the kids are like, your daughter's the coolest. And he's like, oh, that's all karma.
Yep.
Oh, that's it would have offset. You would have offset that karma at some point.
Yeah. But karma would have been you spend that money on a crazy birthday party for your daughter. That would have been.
Come on, man. It would have been beautiful. That smile. Come on. What could karma say to that smile on your kid's face? But shout out to Andrew. She did do the right thing. Was it foolish?
Very much absolutely. So.
But, you know, if you believe in that whole pearly gates thing, you go and all your sins are put before you when you get to the gates. It's like. You don't want to be pulled up. He's like, you stole $42,000 from a family that needed it. And you're like,
but did you enjoy it on your time on Earth? Yes.
I did. I'd be telling God or whoever, like, but did you see what I did with it, though?
Right.
Did you see the rims? I'm like, oh, my God.
Get him out of here.
Slide down the pole in the hell like Lil Nas X. Like, before we get out of here, though, recommendations. As I said before, I've been watching Q into the Storm. I believe it's called. It's on HBO Max. I've been watching that very fascinating docuseries. And then I think I told you also on HBO Max. I've been watching Allen versus Pharaoh. I haven't brought myself to watch the fourth episode yet. It's just very depressing, but very good. Mm. Those are two things I've been watching. You been watching anything?
I just want to say HBO Max is great.
They're killing it, man. I watched Kong versus Godzilla. That was fun.
I'm going to watch it tonight or tomorrow night.
Well, if you stop, you keep waiting to get the PS5 to get a big TV. You should already got the
watch on this.
Yeah, I watched it on the 75-inch, bro. It's crazy. I had the bass speaker on. Crazy.
I'm trying to wait, man.
King Kong, come on, boom, beating his chest and shit. Oh man,
I'm trying to wait till I get the
whole setup. Yeah, you like to have the whole thing all in one time.
Yeah, I can't do.
Well, then hold off on.
You know, some people used to buy like
one thing at a time,
and then be like, I'm not gonna wear. I can't do that. That's not how I.
I need the whole outfit at once.
I can't.
I'm gonna buy this shirt and then I can't wear it until I get the shoes. Who knows when I get the shoes, though?
Right.
So you got to just keep looking at the shirt while I was hanging up there calling you.
I can't do that. Once I get that five, that's when I can go get all my stuff. I can have it all ready, have my room ready.
Okay, well, hold off on the King Kong.
So I've been watching, I started watching Last Chance U basketball.
Oh, great, right?
I love it. What's that guy? What's his name?
Oh, Joe Hampton. He's raw, bro.
That's what I'm to say. If that was you or anybody like a son... I'm like, man, you need to get it together.
Yeah, you have a gift.
You have a gift. The world is not against you, bro. Like, shit just happens, man. Yeah. You got to get past it.
Come on,
bro. He was pissing me off, man. He was walking off,
storming off the games. Like, bro, if you just sit there, you're going to get you're not getting the minutes because of the stuff that you're doing.
I said, man, I'm the best one to keep getting me on the bench, man. Fuck this. I don't need this.
Yeah, he's just like, you need to
get together.
Yeah.
Anywho, I love that. Did you see I Care a Lot on Netflix?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's Gone Girl.
Yeah, that's
Gone Girl. Yeah. My boy Peter Dinklage, bro. One of my favorite things that I can never get out of my head. At the beginning, when Peter Dinklage, the little guy, he's going through his daily routine and he's looking at some macaroons.
Yeah.
He's walking that thing, he looks at one, he's like, he like nods at it, like, give me that one.
Yeah.
And they put it in the box and I was like, this dude is so fly. His little fly suit on. He was like, give me that macaroon.
That one caught me off guard.
He was hanging on the bars.
Like a boss.
Yeah, oh yeah. But I love that, though. He's one of the most talented people working in Hollywood, and I feel like they don't give him chances because he's a little person. Mm. But he can act with the best of them. They always put him in like fantasy stuff because he's a little person.
Yeah.
So he was on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
He gave some of the best acting I've ever seen on Game of Thrones. And I was happy from I Care a Lot because they said, this dude's great. It doesn't matter if he's a little person. Just let him be a great actor.
Yeah.
And because the movie's so wacky, she fucking Rosamund Pike, she fucked the car, goes in the water, and she gets out.
Crazy.
It's like so ridiculous that it's like he's a little person and he's the boss. That's fine. Whatever. Everything else is crazy that's happening.
Yeah.
And I like that because I was like, he can just be in a normal world. He doesn't have to be like wearing armor or work at a circus or something. It doesn't have to be like that. He can just be an awesome dude. So I thought that was fun. I loved I Care a Lot. It's basically Scarface for white women. I loved I Care a Lot. I thought it was a fun. You gotta go into it to have fun. You can't be like, this doesn't really make sense from a... This wouldn't happen if you do any of that shit.
Somebody said they didn't like the end. I liked it. I thought the ending made sense.
It came full circle. Yeah. Let's not spoil it. But,
oh, I'm sorry.
But
yeah.
It's been out, but I still just try not to just outright say stuff. But I thought it came full circle, like karma. That was a that was a karmic movie, you know?
Exactly.
So I know I loved I Care a Lot. Yeah, definitely. If you haven't seen I Care a Lot yet, check that shit out. I loved that.
That movie reminded me of, not to spoil. I'm about to say something, so I might spoil it, so you can just skip. But anywho, it reminded me of, you know, when you say that you can't become like a billionaire without fucking people over.
For sure. And no, absolutely. That's not spoiling anything. That's the perfect example. Because at the end, they really did. They took over the world. It got big. But it was like, this is, we saw for the whole movie what they do. And now they're doing that on a larger scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah. You can't make copious amounts of money like that. You're fucking over somebody.
Yeah. So I thought it was a great movie.
I loved I Care a Lot. Yeah. I thought it was great. And I also enjoyed King Kong versus Godzilla. But I wouldn't watch it on like a 30-inch television.
Okay.
If you don't have a big TV in your house,
I don't got
go to the,
like,
go to
the
movies. Yeah, but that's because you keep holding off. Just get it. Or wait, you know, like I said, wait. Because like, another thing before we got now, it's starting to turn into a thing. But people are like, man, y'all trying to spoil King Kong versus Godzilla before I even watch the movie. Bro, they fight.
Who doesn't know that?
There's nothing to spoil, really. It's really nothing to spoil.
How long has it been around?
Yeah, they fight. One of them's going to win. One of them's going to lose. Does you knowing which one loses, it won't be fun? When you see the cartoon monsters fighting and building, it's still fun. It's a fun watch. So you can hold off until you get the PS5.
Yeah, I am.
You can hold off. Even if somebody's like, you know this happens, it won't ruin the movie for you, bro.
Yeah.
You know they're going to fight. It's called Godzilla versus King Kong.
Spoilers don't bother me, though.
But that's because you just...
I go,
the way you watch movies is I just never seen anybody... You do that a lot. Yeah, you do that a lot,
I go, what happened?
What's it about?
Yeah.
How does it end? I'm like, what happened? Did I tell you that too?
Yeah, because then I can choose if I want to watch it or not. If you go, it does something, I go, I won't watch it. Yeah, man.
Tell me the whole movie before I watch the movie.
Because I go, oh, shit, this part's about the part he told me about.
Yeah,
come
but
up.
But the subtext and all the buildup is, that's a part of the movie watching experience. Do you?
I can still enjoy that.
No, but I feel like a lot of movies you could just watch if you just watch them on YouTube and it's like, here's all the best parts of the movie.
Yeah.
You don't even need the middle part of like, well, what's his name? Mm. Is he her brother? You're like, no, when is the fights and when is the cuss outs and the yelling scenes? Yeah. I feel you can watch
super. Because I can watch it, I can go, oh, it's about to come up. I can get excited. I don't like sitting there and going, when is this part going to happen?
I've never heard anybody describe
like that Superman movie. I fell asleep on that Superman movie.
Justice League?
And that was like one of the best movies people have. No.
Superman.
Superman. I forgot which one it was. Whatever. It was a good movie everybody talked about. I fell asleep. I was like, this shit
is a good movie everybody talked
boring.
About.
Boring.
Superman?
Yeah, it was a while ago. Man of Steel.
Man of Steel. That okay. Like the first Superman movie?
I think it was that one.
Yeah, I haven't really liked any of the Justice League stuff. Oh. But the trailer for the new Suicide Squad movie looks great. That's one that I'm like, I'm into it. I think that's going to be fun. But we're not here to shit on DC as the ending. I've been Alvin Warriors, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Franco Evans. And we'll see you guys next week.
Deuces.